Blog Talk.
Saturday,
1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're listening to the news with your host, Venger Satanis, and the Beast.
Hi, thanks for listening to the news. My name is T.C. Downey, or the Beast. This is my co-host, Venger Satanis. Venger, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. A little bit nervous about our first broadcast, but nonetheless, hanging in there. For the people listening who don't know exactly who you are the high priest of the Cult of Cthulhu. That's an extremely interesting organization that I've been looking into for a while. You mind giving us a brief overview of what exactly the Cult of Cthulhu is?
Sure, yeah. It is, it's a distillation of Satanism, Chaos Magic, The Fourth Way, H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu Mythos, and my own personal ideas. It's a school of bringing people together and trying to accomplish certain things. The main goals of the Cthulhu cult are to get you what you want, whatever that may be, maybe women or power or money or security, freedom, etc., to bring the old ones back and to awaken. And that's kind of, if we just had one word to define our organization, it would be awakening.
Awakening. All right. Yeah. Now, one of the terms that you listed was bringing the old ones back. Now, you mean this in a literal sense, correct?
We're pretty non-dogmatic and free-form, so people can take the old ones and the things that Lovecraft wrote about literally or metaphorically or in some other way. So, yeah, we want to bring the great old ones back to this universe, to this dimension. But some people believe that the old ones are metaphors for ourselves, our own inner demons and hidden consciousness below the surface. So people can believe what they want, but there are a lot of us that believe in the literal reality of the great old ones, like Cthulhu, Yog-Sothoth, Nyarlathotep, Azathoth, Shub-Niggurath.
And for people who don't actually believe in the physical entities themselves, I'm guessing that each one of these, shall we say them, godheads what would you say, like an archetypical symbol or
an right. Like that. It's very similar to modern or postmodern Satanism. Or any kind of chaos magic, if you believe in it strong enough, then it becomes real to you. You create your own reality. So,
So, ideally, then it doesn't really matter if it's theistically followed or atheistically followed. The idea at hand is that if you put enough belief behind it, you're going to manifest something.
That's right. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if people really believe in it in a literal sense or a metaphorical sense. It's It's about what you do.
It's about what you do.
The intent, your goals, you know, what you, the energy you put behind it, that's more important than what some book says or what someone else next to you believes.
Okay, well, that's interesting. During your brief explanation of it, you kind of touched on the fourth way. What exactly is the fourth way?
The fourth way is a particular school of thought. Some of its basic teachings are that man is asleep and unaware of himself. He has many eyes, many selves. God, I got this fly right in my ear. What else? That the man can't reach his potential because he's not whole. He's not really himself. He's a machine. And the fourth way is about coming to terms with who man is and trying to awaken him. And that's kind of the engine of the Cthulhu cult, is basically the fourth way teaching. We incorporate that in our own work, and I think it's really onto something. I first learned about the fourth way through the Temple of Set reading list, and I was a member of the Temple of Set for a couple of years as like a probationary member, and I was a member of the Church of Satan for many years, but as you know, that relationship didn't end well.
Yes. We don't really have a lot of time to actually go into the backstory of it, but I'm sure there's something we could touch on in the future.
Oh, yeah. We'll wait for another show for that.
Absolutely. Now, this fourth way, is this the same fourth way that was taught by George Ivanich Gurdjieff back in the late 1800s, early 1900s?
Yes. He traveled the world looking for esoteric wisdom and hidden knowledge, and he found it through different schools and, you know, different areas like India and Tibet. And he brought it back to Russia and then the rest of Europe. He found some followers like Ouspensky and a few other people to carry on the tradition and spread it then through America and other places.
Excellent. While I'm looking at this, I've actually, since we started this show, I took a little bit of time to actually kind of take a look at what exactly the fourth way is. I mean, first of all, as I started reading about this, it was interesting that it kind of paralleled with a personal idea that had been floating through my head for a while, or rather a symbol. That symbol was the Enneagram, which I later found out is actually very much used in this practice of the fourth way.
Right.
And then from that, I actually have even gone as far as to assume that Aleister Crowley actually used the fourth way in his practice as well. He makes mention of the great work often, and earlier you made mention of, I believe it was the work as well, and that's actually what the fourth way began being referred to by Gurdjieff's pupils, isn't that correct?
Yes, yeah, that is correct, yep.
All right. I suppose in order to really give people a good solid grasp of what the fourth way is, you'd have to first take an understanding of what the first three typically accepted ways of increasing one's consciousness and becoming a master of the self. I mean, because that's really what this all is self-mastery, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Do you want me to go into those?
Yeah, you're more than welcome to. I have a list of them here if you don't remember the names offhand, but
okay, no, I do. The first way is is thought to be the way of the fakir, which is a physical way of overcoming the self, overcoming physical sensation, pain, and mastering the self that way. The second way is a mastering of emotions. That's the way of the monk. And then the third way is the way of the yogi. It's more of a mastering of one's intellectual center. But the fourth way combines all of those, because in the fourth way, people believe that the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual centers have to be recognized and dealt with and overcome and mastered simultaneously. And so when you combine all those, that equals the fourth way. And that's the best way I know of trying to awaken.
All right. Gurdjieff actually, he actually believed that the fourth way was quicker, in fact, than either of the previous or any of the previous three ways that were traditionally done. And his belief was also that it had been in practice actually in a really, I guess, obscure philosophy of yoga, which has existed as long as mankind has been around.
Yeah,
that hold weight?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I think, I think all kinds of forbidden knowledge or secret truths have been around for, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years, and it has been forgotten about by modern man and replaced with other platitudes and religions and things that can't really help us out. But, yeah, I think the fourth way is, I mean, there's something really deep and intense there, and it's definitely a way for mankind to get out of the mire of himself and his situation and become what his destiny is to be.
So, in a sense, to awaken his true intent and purpose.
Right. And to fully realize himself and to not live with illusions, but truth.
All right. Let's take a quick minute here, man, and we're gonna, I guess, first express to everybody that's listening that at any point in time they're welcome to call in to 347-989-1371 and join in the conversation. Also, there's a chat room. I'm not real familiar with how you can get into the chat room nowadays, but I do know this. If you do go in, you have to create an account with Blog Talk to actually be able to communicate with the host. I'm actually I'm watching over the switchboard in the chat room myself right now. But the number is 347-989-1371. I guess before we go any further, we should really kind of outline our two positions here. I myself, up until a few years ago, was extremely atheistic in thinking, and I've only really started to take a look at things that I thought were somewhat trivial or make-believe back then. So I'm a novice. I really don't have much knowledge in this department, which is where you come in. Being the high priest of the cult of Cthulhu, I'm assuming that you think yourself to be some form of an expert on the subject of magic and occult in general. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess I would call myself an expert. I've read a lot, but I'm also very self-taught quite a bit, like an artist, you know. Magic and the left-hand path, et cetera, is an art and a science. I'm more the art, and I think you are more science-based.
That I am.
So,
and the actual funny part about that, Andrew, is I do physical art manifestation, you know, more digital than anything, but I've over these past few years actually started to delve into traditional work.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you've done quite a bit of work that seems inspired by the actual Cthulhu mythos. So,
oh, yeah.
Do you relate your artistic nature with your calling in Cthulhu?
Yeah, I think it's related. I think the mythos calls out to artists and other creative people a lot more than any other philosophy or religion. And yeah, I think one goes hand in hand with the other. I think the mythos is a creative tapestry or melting pot of a whole wide array of ideas and theories and aesthetics that the person believing in it or using it can do whatever he wants. So it's very free form, very creative, very open ended.
Right. Well, kind of taking from that and getting back to the fourth way, in a sense, is there a kind of a hidden secret or a secret magic that exists amongst this philosophy?
If there is, I think it's remembering the self, which probably can be related to know thyself, which is a very old wisdom that you've probably encountered before.
I have.
Yeah, if anyone's going to work on themselves or work on the world or reality in general, I think they have to know what they're dealing with. And if man is asleep, how can he know what he's even going through or what parts of himself need work or aren't responding or are based in illusion? So, yeah, I think being aware of yourself, remembering yourself, that's key, and that's kind of the first step. And then from there, a lot of other things flow.
We actually, one of our users in the chat room has asked us to describe the fourth way a little more in depth. And I'm guessing that if you've been listening to the show since the beginning, then you've caught on so far that it's a philosophy of inner working, where you're basically through three methods, internally mastering yourself and creating a more conscious, what's the word, effort towards awakening your higher self-conscious?
Yep, that's absolutely right. Yeah, it's basically work on oneself, and the goal is to reach a higher level of consciousness than you previously had.
Certainly, and I mean, as Gurdjieff explains it, it's actually sort of, it's unlimited. There's no, you can just keep consistently, continuously reaching new states of and new levels of consciousness.
Right. Right. On an individual level, I mean, that can yield a great deal. 'Cause what can a machine do, really? I mean, a machine can do certain specific simple tasks over and over again. And that's what we do as people. But, you know, if a machine turned into an actual conscious human being, then you can do whatever. You know, the sky's the limit. And if you get more people, like a group of people that are conscious and working on themselves, then, I mean, I think you can almost do anything. I think there's unlimited potential there.
One of the things going through and actually reading about Gurdjieff's version of the fourth way that struck in my mind, and I'm curious to know if it's different in the teachings of the Cult of Cthulhu. Gurdjieff thought that the fourth way involved certain conditions being imposed upon the student or the practitioner by his master or teacher. But he did not encourage it to be just blindly accepted. They were to only do the things that they understood, and they needed to verify that these conditions existed before they allowed the imposing of them onto themselves.
Right. Yeah, that would be called intentional suffering, or a conscious suffering, where you do things that don't come easily because you want to, because you want to get something out of it. You know, everybody suffers because that's just the way of the world, because, you know, we're, according to Gurdjieff, we're in a pretty shitty place in the universe, you know, on a grand cosmic scale. And that means that we're basically destined to live our lives through hardship and suffering and ignorance and eventually death, with nothing to look forward to afterwards. But it's possible to circumvent these circumstances, and that's, again, where the fourth way comes in. You work on yourself enough by intentionally taking on certain responsibilities, certain tasks, certain, you know, putting in the work and following the teaching, and then you can overcome yourself. You can overcome reality itself, and you can become conscious, more conscious than you are, at least, and then you really have the potential to become God, I think. I mean, that's the extrapolation that we take in the Cthulhu cult, that fits in right with the left-hand path, the whole self-deification. If you work on yourself enough and you become conscious enough, then eventually you will become godlike or like God, or you can reach, you know, a supernatural state after death. Like, you can reach the next dimension rather than just going into the ground and nothing.
Interesting. Real quick, we have about 7 minutes left in the show at this point. Do you feel like we're going to be able to wrap up this conversation, or should we extend it?
Either way. I'm good either way. If there's something else you want to talk about, or if there's someone that wants to call in or ask a question, that's cool. Otherwise, we can keep going. Either way.
I think it would be really, I mean, at this point, I think a half hour is not going to do quite enough. So I'm going to go ahead and attempt to extend it while we're talking. And in the meantime, I'm going to, again, encourage people to call in. It's 347-989-1371. You can call in right now and kind of exchange with us ideas. And let's see if we can get a better understanding of this fourth way that Avengers bring in to us. So where is that? Is an episode? While I'm thinking about this, imposition of conditions or suffering, as you put it, intentional suffering, it's kind of the old philosophy of no pain, no gain, with a nice pretty...
Right. Right.
So.
And it brings your attention to a specific point. Normally our attention is here, it's there, you know, you're looking at the trees, you're driving your car, you're on the cell phone, maybe you're eating a sandwich at the same time. Your mind wanders constantly. We don't even realize how distracted we are, like, all the time. Like, our minds just wander from this thing to that thing. You know, if you just could meditate on, like, a single thing for, like, 5 whole minutes, even that would be extraordinary for, you know, for a regular machine or person. But yeah, the intentional suffering, you know, you force yourself to bring your attention and to bring your intellect, your emotions, and physically to a certain thing, and then that can that focus can help you break through your sleep and the illusions around you and all the distractions, etc.
Interesting. So, in a nutshell, through divine acting, you eventually become divinity? Is that what you're saying?
I suppose if you see God as a force or some sort of being or entity or just an intelligence that's fully conscious, fully aware of itself, aware of everything else, it has perspective, both greater and smaller and in between, then if a human being did that same thing, then they would be even closer to God. And also, as you work on yourself, you create like a more intensified energy or vibration inside. You're basically building up your soul, or your spirit, or your personal energy. And that is something that can survive the death of your body. Whereas a regular person, or like 99% of humanity, if they die, it is my belief that nothing happens to them because they're asleep already in their life. And the soul doesn't have any weight, doesn't have any force or gravity. So, it's basically a seed. But if you allow it to grow, if you nurture it and put in the work, it can become a huge tree, and then it can actually take on a life of its own after you die. Does that make sense?
Perfectly.
Okay.
Perfectly.
It's wild stuff, and it's pretty esoteric. So I don't expect people to get it right away. And in fact, it took me years to really get serious about it, because it just comes out of left field, and it seems like, you're talking about something from a science fiction movie like Star Wars. But really, I think there's a lot there.
Yeah, it sounds to me, the more we discuss it and from everything that I've read on it, it's sounds to me like a very plausible working. I mean, obviously, the old adage is that it practice makes perfect. And
right.
So if you continue to practice intensifying yourself, then I got my attention caught by the chat room and the so I can't read and think at the same time, apparently. So what was I saying? What was I saying this time?
You were talking about, generally you're talking about the fourth way. Specifically, I don't even know. That's how distracted I am. I've been following this shit for years, so.
Yeah. What I've actually been reading as I've been becoming more and more interested in this is this system that's very plausible, as I was just stating, that, practice makes perfect.
Oh, right, yeah.
It seems like it's an extremely intensive way of thinking. As a matter of fact, from what I've seen on Gurdjieff's writings, he believed that you needed to keep your conscience busy at all times. That you weren't supposed to take that mental rest that we all take.
Right. Well, I think after vigorous daily exercise, it's okay to rest a little bit. I don't think you can force yourself to be to have your attention like always at the ready 24/7. That's almost impossible. I don't even know if Gurdjieff was able to do that. But I think, if you could do it three times a day, if you could bring your attention to a specific point and recognize the need to remember yourself and awaken, I think right there you'd be 110% above everyone else in your life.
I think that's probably, theoretically, that's probably very feasible. Let's take a minute, Venger, if you don't mind, man. Let's take a minute and mention to anybody that's interested in the Cult of Cthulhu and the Fourth Way that all they got to do is just go to cultofcthulhu.net and check it out. There's a lot of really cool writings that have been put together by, I'm assuming, you and probably a few other people. They're readily able to get a PDF version of your Bible, both the first one and the second one, which is called Libra A.O.
Yeah, the first book is Cthulhu Cult, and Ned, if anyone emails me wanting a PDF of that, I'll send it to you. Otherwise, there's a couple links on the website of where to get it, like Lulu, you can get on Amazon, or you can get a hardcover signed copy from me, personally. But the second book, Libra A.O., which is basically Ancient Ones, although it kind of doubles as Alpha Omega, too, the A.O.
Right.
That's question on the site. What?
That's actually explained in the text.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I described that there's an intentional double meaning there. You can read Libra A.O. right on the website. And that's also available in book form from Lulu or me, if people want to directly order it from me. That explains a lot more of what we're talking about and, the real stuff behind the Cult of Cthulhu. Visit my website. There's a lot of stuff. There's the discussion forum, which is pretty great. People can ask questions. They can, talk about Lovecraft or the Fourth Way or Satanism. And it's a really great community. It's not very judgmental, not a bunch of assholes. It's very cool, laid-back people that want to work on themselves.
Absolutely. I've actually regularly visited these websites now for some time. I've got to say that some of the most thought-inspiring stuff that I've read in a long time has all come from there. So,
good. Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, definitely people should check it out. And once you've done, trying to wrap your brain around these concepts and really understand them, and you just need a break visually, you can always check out creativeoddities.com. That's one of my home websites. That's actually the main home website for me. You'll see both the artwork of Jason Sorrell, which is my partner in crime for the most part. I mean, it's actually his deal there. I'm a guest on that website, but you can also check out my artwork there as well. So that's creativeoddities.com, and then if you want to go back again to cultofcthulhu.net, which you most likely will. I mean, I find myself entranced with all the writings and stuff, and there's so much information available there that I have not actually been able to get through it all yet.
Yeah, there's a lot there. It's pretty vast because I've been doing this for about 5 years. So it's accumulated, not only the writing but the artwork and the forum and things like that. Anyway, I'm always doing new stuff. There's the YouTube site, which admittedly isn't that great. I'm a better writer than I am a video maker. But... I try, and I try to, communicate with the rest of the Left Hand Path community and, get things going, get people interested in, doing something and not just sitting around.
Absolutely. I think, actually, that's one of the main problems in the Left Hand Path community is there's not very many people actually doing the great work.
I agree.
It's a lot of keyboard commandos and
right.
Not so many people, actually living the process. And
right, and that's important to live the process. It is.
Yeah, I would certainly say so. I mean, again, I originally started out in a more atheistic mindset, but, over time, there are certain undiluted truths that leads you to believe that, you know, there are other possibilities that are open and out there. And I certainly think that the Cult of Cthulhu has, you know, you guys have very well captured that element.
Oh, thank you.
One of the most interesting factors to me about the Cult of Cthulhu is the fact that it doesn't all base itself around one system, but rather the teachings of many different philosophies kind of all seem to muddle together.
Right.
Under this
yeah,
one great idea.
Right. It's a combination of systems. Exactly. It's, you know, it's the piecing together of disassociated knowledge, as Lovecraft would put it. And I think that's one of its strengths. You know, it doesn't come from just one person or one school of thought, but there's a lot of different ideas out there that we try to put together in one format, and hopefully that helps the individual find what they're looking for or do whatever they want it to do.
Now, Venger, how do you suppose that that the Cult of Cthulhu ties in with Anton LaVey's rendition of Satanism?
That's a good question. Well, we don't necessarily focus on like the old ones, like Cthulhu or Yog-Sothoth, as, you know, they're not physical beings that we're trying to appease or you know, fully understand as you would try to understand like a car engine or something like that. And just like Anton LaVey's Satanism, you know, it's more about the spirit of it, and it's about connecting with a certain dark energy and doing something with your life, and it's getting your intent out there and doing your will rather than like, you know, praising Satan and going around and, you know, scrubbing his cloven hooves or whatever. You know, it's about a greater, some, but connecting with something greater than yourself and using that to further yourself. So in that way, I think it's similar.
Interesting. I think another way that I could draw the similarity to it is, actual people who follow the satanic path are typically your everyday Joes. They're, you know, John Doe mowing his lawn across the street, you know. He works a 9-to-5 job in a bakery and, you know, he drinks beer from the minute he gets home until he goes to sleep.
Right.
You wouldn't know him from anybody else. I mean, it's not the same, like, persona that you might see on a TV show or a movie where they're, you know, all dressed in black and all kinds of upside-down crosses hanging. I mean, there are some people that use that kind of aesthetic to create, for the shock value of it or for the psychodrama value of it, and I think the same goes for the Cult of Cthulhu. You're not a bunch of grown men dancing around in your underwear with fake plastic masks on all the time and putting little voodoo curses on people, but rather your normal, everyday, productive, functioning people that, you know, nobody would even be able to discern you except for maybe the higher level of intellect and consciousness.
Yes, that's right. It's all about productivity, and it's definitely not a fashion statement. I always like to quote Fight Club, you are not your fucking khakis. And I think that sums it up pretty well. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you're wearing or what you're listening to or how you got your car tricked out. It's about what you do and the mindset and the work you put in, and your intent, you know, what do you want to get out of this? And what kind of work are you going to put into it in order to get what you want out? That's what it's all about.
Awesome. A while back, I became a member of a fraternity known as the Freemasons, and I noticed there's a lot of allegory that's used to teach personal lessons, and it's all, you know, dressed up, and I guess it's presented in such a fashion that you can actually take grip of, you know, you could take grip of it and use it in a literal sense, or you could continue to use the metaphors provided as tools to shape yourself. I think that's a really kind of neat, cool aspect that's present in all of these thinkings. The Fourth Way, the Cult of Cthulhu. I read both of the Bibles that you have out so far, and I have to tell everybody, Believer AO, I mean, I read that in maybe an hour and a half, front to back, and that was, it seemed like at least 50 or 60 pages, right?
I can't remember how many pages it is, like 75? I think it's around 75 pages.
75. Yeah, I know it wasn't real thin. It wasn't like a little 20-page deal. I mean, I just chomped right through it.
Right.
It just seemed the longer I read it, the more intrigued I became at what you were saying. And I think that your approach to it actually worked out real well. So I want to encourage anybody that's listening to, you know, pick up a copy of it, whether it be PDF or if you want to buy a signed hard copy from Venger, then please do.
Yeah, I hope it's, it kind of explains what we're all about. And, you know, if someone is kind of floundering out there, like many of us are, maybe it can put someone on the path and steer them in the right direction or get them thinking in a new way. You know, I just want to try to help people and get some sort of movement going. And I think, you know, getting one's ideas out there, that's one of the best ways to sort of marshal that force and create change.
Excellent. I've gone through the process of actually being the interviewer here, but, you know, rather than continuously bombarding your questions here, is there anything in particular that you want to cover in this subject that maybe I've left out?
I can't think of anything right now. As you know, I've been dealing with we both have been dealing with a lot of stuff today, so my mind's a little fried right now. I don't know about yours. And I know
that
yeah, that you're asking me a lot of questions today. Next week, I'll probably be asking you a lot of questions. And then, of course, we'll have people calling in, and, you know, we'll be discussing back and forth all kinds of different subjects from the left-hand path to Satanism. You know, I kind of want to know if people think if Satanism is still a viable course to, you know, self-enlightenment and self-progression and productivity, or if Satanism was really awesome in the 20th century and it's kind of lost its mojo. I don't know. That's a good question. I would love to know the answer. I know that different people probably have a variety of different answers. So maybe that's something we can talk about next week, or we could just talk about, you know, fucking midgets or something.
Next week, I think next week we have scheduled to actually have a conversation on BDSM lifestyle, and
okay, cool.
I was kind of hoping that maybe we could even you know, try to draw the lines between the BDSM lifestyle and people who live in an occult lifestyle as well, because they do seem to kind of run hand in hand in the different circles that you travel.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, I think, too. Yeah, that's a good topic. I think we should run with that.
So that's what we'll be talking about next week. We've got about 15 minutes left here. I think we've started exhausting our brains on this subject. So unless anybody out there wants to call in and ask us questions, again, it's 347-989-1371. Or I'm going to step outside for a quick smoke while we're talking. But you can also, you know, pop into the chat room. All you got to do is just sign up for an account with Blog Talk, and then you come back into the chat room, and you can actually you can talk to us there and ask us questions about this. It's just a basic presentation to try to get our first show off, and we've gone now 16 minutes over our scheduled time, so I think we've provided you guys with enough fluff. It's your turn to ask the serious questions. So I'm going to head out for a smoke, and in the meantime, we'll be us. So what do you think of the experience?
So far, you mean the radio show?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good. I think it's good. A half hour seems a little short, but an hour seems, you know, especially if we don't have any guests or people calling in, a little long. Maybe 45 minutes is kind of the sweet spot. I don't know if 45 minutes is an option, but whatever.
Well, in the future, I'm actually going to try to get some different faces from, you know, the social structures of the left-hand path to call in and actually let us talk to them. One of them I'm hoping will be Eric Kieschutz. He's the guy who runs and maintains MySatan.net, which is like MySpace for Satanists.
Right.
That ought to be... That'd be fascinating, and I'd like also if anybody hears the show and you know of somebody who's particularly versed in one specific subject in the occult or just the occult in general, have them get in touch with us. You can send us an email at theuse@twistedbeast.com. If not, your email address is venger.satanus@yahoo. Is that correct?
Yep. venger.satanus@yahoo.com. Yep, that's my email. It's also on the website, cultofcthulhu.net, so anyone can find me there.
So prior to the show starting, you actually were having some car trouble, and your car's actually in the shop right now. Is that correct?
It is, yeah. I'm right outside Sears in the mall here in good old Madison, Wisconsin, where I live. And, yeah, my Corvette, the battery is not big enough, apparently, you know. Frequently, like, it just wouldn't start. I'd need to call a tow truck and have them jump me and, you know, finally get started. Then it would run for, like, a week or two. And then something would happen, and it wouldn't start. So I finally took it over to Sears, and, yeah, the battery just wasn't big enough from the get-go, from the, you know, the factory direct battery. It was a 500, and I needed, like, a 700. So anyway, they're replacing that. I think they're done now. So I'm going to drive it away as soon as we're done here. And then I got someone to look at it to sell it, or to buy it, because I'm trying to sell it.
Right.
Yeah.
A little background from me too. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida. So I mean, we're practically clear across the country.
Yeah.
kind of fascinating how this show even came to be. I was working on a separate project and got myself in touch with Venger to. Try to get him to assist me on this project. And one thing led to another. We ended up discussing internet radio talk shows, and here we are.
That's right. Here we are. Now, you did, you were doing a different but sort of similar formatted show, like a blog talk radio show.
It was a blog talk radio show. That's correct. It was Twisted Radio. It was More or less shock radio.
Okay.
You know, there was a lot of horsing around, some prank calling. Subject matter was wild. At times we'd talk about, you know, different fetishes, and I believe we touched on religion a little bit here and there, but overall it was pretty much a mindless hour of entertainment. And that went to the wayside due to personal differences between me and the other co-host.
Right, right.
But hopefully this has the structure and the stamina to be a continuing thing, but it's going to take people tuning in every week. We're going to do this every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or noon Central.
Yep.
We'd love to have you guys call in. It's 347-989-1371. If you're catch us in the archive, you can, again, shoot us an email, sign up for an account here on Blog Talk Radio, and send us a message here if nothing else. At least favorite us. If you favorite us, then what will actually happen is it'll increase our ranking. And we'll gain popularity on here, and they may even feature us on the front page, which would be really cool. It'd be neat to introduce alternative thinking to, you know, people who are maybe lacking in that department.
Right. If people have a suggestion of, like, what they want to hear, what they want us to talk about, or, you know, how we want to shape the show, they should be feel free to write in or call in and talk about, you know, what they want their experience of the ooze to be. You know, because it's us running it. What's that?
I when you say the ooze, I love the pliability of that title.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, I'm imagining sort of like this green, slimy, gooey, like, substance, you know, running down like a naked female body, because that's, you know, if
sure,
I had my brothers,
yeah,
that's where all green slime would go. That's where all ooze would go. It would just run down, you know, girl's tits and her, the rest of her body and down her legs.
It has to kind of seep into every crack and crevice, though.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like the primordial ooze from which life originally sprang on Earth. And, you know, maybe that's kind of what we're trying to do here. You know, we're trying to go from nothing to something of substance and, you know, create something worthwhile, something that can evolve.
I certainly think this first show has been a success. Moongoose, who has been hanging out in the chat room practically since the beginning of the show, given us a little bit of a background on them. They're non-denominational. This in particular is very interesting to them, and I guess they study all kinds of different religions, so you found the right place to check it out, because we're not going to try to limit our sphere of conversation, I don't think at all, are we?
No. Yeah, we'll talk about anything. We'll talk about anybody. You know, we're not going to – we already talked about this before, the Beast and I. We're not going to, you know, go after people and just be like, you know, ego agenda assholes and just kind of like single people out or single organizations out and be like, hey, you're not doing Satanism right. Fuck you. But at the same time, you know, we're not going to ignore problems that we see in the community, and we're not going to gloss over certain issues just because it's unpopular or because a certain sponsor, you know, or person we have on the show doesn't want to hear it. You know, we're just going to say what we feel, and we're going to be real. And but we're not going to be douchebags. That's where we draw the line, right?
Absolutely. We're certainly not going to be douchebags. Everybody's entitled to their their opinions and views, and even if mine's better than yours, I'm not going to rub it in your face. I'm just going to tell you how I feel, and you can take it for what it's worth.
Exactly.
We've got about, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left in the show, 4 minutes left in the show. I'm trying to think if there's anything in particular that's left to cover. I told you I'll go to creativeoddityestudios.com. You can find my personal website, fearthebeast.com, through there. You can go to cultofcthulhu.net, and you'll find a wealth of information that, I mean, it could literally take a good portion of one's lifespan to get through and process. It's amazing for only being around 5 years and doing this for 5 years, man. You've accumulated quite a bit of really good shit.
I appreciate that. Every once in a while, I have people ask me or write me on instant message or something, or email me, how did I do it? Or, you know, like, what is my secret to creating this, you know, eldritch empire? And really, it's just, you know, putting a little bit of work in, like, each day. You know, just taking it one day at a time, just doing a little bit over a long period, just, like, constantly just doing, like, little things here and there, and just, you know, trying to be true to myself and true to the spirit of what I want to accomplish. And slowly, you know, something evolves. I think we've encountered people that try to do too much too soon, try to, like, conquer the world in, like, 2 weeks. And, of course, they end up failing because, you know, you build up all that energy and you expend it so quickly that you can't, you don't have the endurance for the long haul. And that's what, like, organization needs. It needs, you know, longevity. It needs to go out, you know, it needs to survive for years before, you know, it catches on to the right people and it evolves from there. But anyway, there's probably people that we want to thank before the show does end in a couple minutes. Is there anyone, Beast, that you want to give a shout out to or thank before we hang out?
Actually, there's two little statements I'd like to make. My thanks would be the second of them. The first one is, I think that in the future you can look forward to seeing an episode entitled Tantra for Religious Gurus. We might actually devil into how to get the longevity part down and creating a religious cult. And that's that. And then my thanks, I guess I'm going to thank you, Venture. I'm going to thank my son for giving me a reason to wake up every morning. And I'm going to thank everybody that's always behind me and supporting me. And Jason Sorrell, Eric Schutz, Eric Goslin, Dan Danimal. And that's pretty much it for now, man.
Cool.
How about you?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'd like to, I guess, thank all my heroes growing up, from Aleister Crowley to Anton LaVey, Gurdjieff, Ouspensky, H.P. Lovecraft, of course. I'd like to thank you for bringing me on board as a co-host. I think this is a great thing. It's really going to, you know, be a great force for change in the Left-Hand Path community. I'd especially like to thank all the attractive women I've been with in the last few years, and all the sexy broads that I'm eventually going to be with in the near future. Because without you guys, I wouldn't want to get up in the morning. So, yeah, to all the hot ladies out there, you know, feel free to send us naked pictures of yourself, especially if you're attractive, because that's awesome.
All right, and that means time's up. I'll call you after the show, and everybody else, we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture or Beast or any institution associated with us. The Ooze does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.